Okay, Zot the Gemara Daf Lamed Ches Amud Beis. So we had a whole discussion, Machlekes, many, many different opinions about what's the halacha of shlokos, cooked vegetables, whether it is remains hadoma when it's downgraded to shahakoil, does it perhaps depend on whether the fruit, whether the apple or the vegetable or the fruit is downgraded or upgraded. We saw a couple of opinions in Tosfos, we saw halacha lemaisa, v'chulei v'chulei. Now, along the way, if you remember, we brought a story to try and back up one of the opinions. It says that Rabbi Yochanan ate a salted olive and he made a bracha on it. He ate a salted olive, and the significance of that was, we said salting is basically like cooking because it gets heated. That's what the salting process does, and Rashi and Tosfos both pointed out that meliach kereiseach, salted is like being heated. That's why it was connected to our sugya. So now we're going to veer off a little bit into a different topic before we come back to our topic. But the topic we're going to veer off into is extremely, extremely important. Extremely important. So we're up to the Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Ches on the base. In fact, the very bottom line. Omale Reb Yirmiya le Reb Zeira, comma. Reb Yochanan, heichi mevarech al zayis meliach. Now we're not for the moment discussing the subject of cooked vegetables. That was what we were discussing until now, and we'll come back to it. But because, by the way, we mentioned this example of zayis meliach, an olive which is salted, the Gemara now asks a question on that. Heichi mevarech al zayis meliach. How did he actually make a bracha on the salted olive? Why? What's the problem? Kiven de shakiloi legarine. Once he removed the, what's the garin? The seeds, the pit. And we're assuming obviously he did, because he's not going to eat that. So then, botzar le shiura. Well then, you have less than the required shear. Now this is something very important. We're always used to kazayis, kazayis, kazayis. And we forget that a zayis is actually an olive. It actually means something. So an olive is a kazayis. That's a classic kazayis. But it's only a kazayis, we're assuming for the moment, if it includes the pit. So therefore, whenever we say a kazayis, what we really mean is a kazayis including the pit. So strangely enough, the worst example of a kazayis is a kazayis. Because once you remove the pit, then there's no longer left a kazayis. It's a kazayis minus the pit. And if that's the question, says the Gemara, botzer le shiura. Botzer le shiura. Now, if you remember, the Gemara says that when Rabbi Yochanan took the zayis meliach, he made a bracha tchilo v'soif, both before and after. Which bracha are we discussing now? The one before or the one after? So Tosfos, that's what we're going to see. If you look at the very top line in Tosfos, we'll discuss this barichus. The Tosfos says, "Botzar le shiure haynu dafka bebracha shela acharav debayinon shir." The whole concept of a shir, of a required amount for a bracha, is only true for the bracha achreino, but not for the bracha rishon. Now, let's look at Rashi. We'll come back to the Tosfos Mitzvah. Says, Rashi, botzer le shiure, you have reduced the shir, the gabe, birkas, peiroi sa'aretz, with regard to peiroi sa'aretz, achila, quote unquote, ksiva. It says in the Torah, achila. And the achila is always the kazayis. You always have to have a kazayis. And if you also always have to have a kazayis, then once you've taken out the pit, and I do not have a kazayis, well then, why would there be a brocha? And according to Tosfos, that means a brocha achreino. Says the Gemara, one moment, you're making an assumption. Omar le, this is the question that Rabbi Yirmiya asked Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiya asked Rabbi Zeira, how did Rabbi Yochanan in fact make the brocha? You have no shear of a kazayis. So he said, one moment, Mi Sovret, did you think that Kazai is God oil, but Yinon? There's no standard size of an olive. There could be a small olive, there could be a medium-sized olive, and there could be a very large olive. So now, if you are to assume that you need a large olive, including the pit, well then your question is a valid question, because however large his olive was, but once he took out the pit, you don't really have a Kshir Kazayis remaining. But who says that's the case? Mi Sovra Kazayis Godol B'inon. Do you really hold that you need a Kazayis Godol? Question mark. Kazayis B'inoni B'inon. Really, you only actually require a Kazayis Beinoni, which would include the pit, okay. Vahahu Daisi Lakamei to Rabbi Yochanan. And that particular Zayis that was brought in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Zayis Godoil Hava. It was a large olive, such that Da'afal Gav de Shakluhu Lagarinu say, such that even though you removed its pit, posh lay, what does posh mean? There remained posh lay, remained shiuro. So, just for argument's sake, imagine if a small olive, let's say, is 100 grams, and a medium one is 200, and a large one is 300, including the pit. So, you are assuming you have to have a large olive, 300 grams? You don't. You don't have to have that. If you have to have 300 grams, then you're quite right, because once you have a large olive, you take out the pit, well then you no longer have 300 grams left. But you don't need the larger size. What do you need? Beinoni. A Beinoni is 200. Therefore, in this particular story, what did he have? He had a large one, which is 300, such that even when you remove the pit, so you take out whatever, 50 grams, you left with 250, therefore you're still over the full size. Or you're over the required size, which is 200. And that's what he was saying. Mi sovret kazayis godel b'inon. Do you really think that you need the largest size kazayis? It's not true, you don't. Kazayis b'inoni b'inon. You only ever require an average size kazayis, which in our example was 200 grams altogether. By the way, weight is not really an accurate portrayal of a kazayis, because it's volume. Vahahu da'aisi lekameh de Rabbi Yochanan. And that particular olive that was brought in front of Rabbi Yochanan, Zayis Godoil Hava, was a large kazayis, it was really 300. Da'afagav de shokluhu legarinusei, even though you take out the pip and it goes down to 250, posh lay, it'll remain for it, shura the shio. You still get your required amount. How do I know that's the case? The Tanan, because we have a famous Mishnah in Kalim, Zayis Sheomru. The Zayis, the olive that they spoke about, who's they? Who spoke about? Chazal. Whenever Chazal speak about an olive with regard to Achilois, look at the Rashi, second line. Kazayis Sheomru Leinyan Shir Kol Achilois, says the Mishnah there, Loi Kotoin, Veloi Godoil, Elo Beinoini. So the first Mishnah that backs us up, first the Mishnah that says that Zayis everywhere is neither large nor is it small, but rather average. So in our example, you only need to get to 200, you do not need to get to 300, and therefore, if you have a 300 gram olive and you remove the pit, then you're good to go, because you still have 200, and that is the shear. And that was the story of Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, v'zehu aguri. And this is called aguri. What does aguri mean, Rabbi Yosef?
It doesn't translate it.
Doesn't translate it? This is an aguri olive.
Yeah, and this is the aguri olive.
Now, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, v'homer Rabbi Avohu, loy aguri shmoi. Doesn't mean that it's actually called aguri. We might refer to it as aguri, but that's not its name. Rather, what is the name? Elo avruti shemoi. Oh, now you know what we're talking about. Avruti shemoi. va'omri lo, and some say that actually samrusi shumai. So either way, his name is definitely not Aguri. It's either Avruti or Samrusi. Obvious question being, V'loma Nikra Shumoy Aguri. Well then, why is it called the Aguri? If that's not its name, rather its name is either Avruti or Samrusi. So why did you call it the Aguri? There it is. Sheshamnoi, it's shemen, it's oil. Ogur. B'soichoi. What does that mean? Ogur b'soichoi is gathered or resides. That loshon of to gar is to live. There. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Ogur b'soichoi mezuman lotseis mimenu. What does that mean? Mezuman lotseis mimenu. In modern Hebrew, there's a word mezuman. Exactly. If you go into your makolet, Rav Nachum, and they say, how do you want to pay? Mezuman. What do you mean by mezuman?
Cash.
Cash. Why? Why does mezuman mean cash? Because mezuman just means readily available, as opposed to a check or a credit card. Mezuman, here it is, cash on the spot. There are different types of olives. There are some olives where you open and the oil just flows out. It's there. It's like sitting in a box. There are some fruits, however, where the olive is absorbed into the actual flesh of the fruit, such that even when you open it up, you cannot see the shemen. Rather, you've got to squeeze it out. That's not what we're talking about. Aguri, the reason why we call it aguri, that's not its name. But aguri means it's readily available. It's muzuman. It's trapped in there, but it's not absorbed in it. It's not absorbed in it. It's not... doesn't need to be squeezed out. You open up the olive, and there it is. And that's what Rashi says. Ogur, says Rashi, mezuman lot seis mimenu. It is ready to be taken out from it. She'einoi nivla. What does nivla mean? It's not absorbed, but pre. It's not absorbed in the fruit, kemashke tapuchim v'tutim. Like the liquid of apples and strawberries. If you open an apple, you don't have liquid flowing out. If you open a coconut, for example, it's literally like sitting in a box. You open the box and there it is. You don't need to squeeze or crush the coconut, you just need to break it open. But an apple and a strawberry, even though there's also liquid there, you can have apple juice, you can have strawberry juice, but it needs to be squeezed out. It's not ogur, it's not being trapped in, rather it's absorbed in. So this is not the case. Elo kamashke anovim. It's more like anovim. Not quite sure of the comparison, because I would have thought grapes are more like apples. It needs to be squeezed. I'm not sure exactly what it means. But either way, that's the olive we're talking about. Okay, that is the end of our little mini sugya. As I mentioned, this is not our main subject. Our main subject is with regard to shlokos, and that's what the Gemara is going to come back to right now. But because we mentioned by Dubai the fact that he ate this kazayis with or without the pit, except for we left a little bit, went on a tangent to try and work out why there was a bracha b'chlal. Now, as I mentioned, we will come back to the sugya, but we have a very, very important tasis to see. Very, very important tasis. This is halacha l'maisa, and we're going to learn many, many principles now from this tasis. Botsar le shiura, says tasis, top tasis. The shiur has been reduced. Remember, what was the Gemara's question? If you have the olive minus the pit, well then, you no longer have an olive, at least kashir. And what was the answer? You do, because you never needed the super shear. Average shear was good enough. Therefore, once you have the very large olive, even if you take out the pit, you still have a shear. Zot the Heiliger Tosfos, Rav Nachum.
Kids are home.
That's the answer. Says Tosfos, Botzar le Shuri. Now we read the first line. Hainu dafka bebrocha shel acharon. When we talk about the word shir, this is an extremely important Tosfos that is only true in the case of the after bracha. The bo'inon shir. That's when the concept of shir exists. Avol bebracha shelefonov. But when you're talking about the first bracha, afilu pochois mikeshir, even less than the required amount, it makes no difference what it is. However much, however small, you always require a bracha. Why is that? Now this sends us back to the very first omud of the perek. The osur lihonois ba'olam hazeh b'loy bracha. Because you can't benefit. There is no shir. You cannot benefit from this world without a bracha. From what amount can you not benefit? Any amount. Remember we said either it's tantamount to me'ila or gezeila. Whatever it is, you're either stealing a small amount or you are profaning a small amount. It doesn't make a difference. Either way, whatever it is, it's also to have benefit from. Tosfos adds now important words. Bein le'inyan achila, bein le'inyan shtiha. Whether you're talking about eating or drinking, it makes no difference. The rule is always the same, and that is, for the first bracha, what is the shiur? There is no shiur. Aval bebracha shela'acharov. When it comes to the after bracha, so with regard to achila, we've already mentioned, there has to be a kezayis. What about with regard to shtiya? Says Tosfos, aval bebracha shela'acharov. Boinon shiur meloy lugmov. What does meloy lugmov mean? A cheekful. How much is that in regards to a revius? Roiv revius. It's roiv of a revius. Okay. Therefore, says Tosfos, Yeshli Zohe, one has to be careful. Lishtos mikos shel bracha meloy lugmov. Why? Kedei shivarech la'acharov me'ein gimel brachos. For in a gear, last night, we make havdalah. How much must you drink? So therefore, you should drink at least meloy lugmov, because only then can you be rest assured for you'll be chayiv in the bracha achreina, which is bracha achas me'ein sholish. Otherwise, you run into questions. If we should be careful. The Hari Hoya Oime. The Ri said, Achidish. Baboy Reina Foshois. When it comes to the bracha of Boy Reina Foshois, Kiven Delav Bracha Chashuva Hi. Seeing as it is not a bracha chashuva, what does that mean? It's not a bracha chashuva. It's not a significant bracha. What does that mean? It's not a significant bracha. Bar nefashes.
It's not.
It's more the general, generic bracha. It's the one size fits all type bracha. It's not alamichya bracha achas min shalosh, or certainly not brikas hamazon. It's the general bracha that you make. Basically, for any food which is not chashav. If it is bread, which is obviously the most chashav, brachas hamazon. If it's chameshes minei dagon or shivas haminim, so then it's almost brachas hamazon. It's bracha achas mein shalish. But everything else, brain nefashis. So the reason that, if that's the case, for hari ayoyim ma brain nefashis, kevin the lav bracha chashuvahi. Seeing as it is not a significant bracha, therefore afilu bebotzir mishura. What does bebotzir mean? Even less than the amount. Mavarachinon boire nefoshois rabois. When do we require an official shiur? What was the shiur? For achila kezayis and for shtia meloy lugmov, That's only if you're dealing with a bracha chashuva, says the Ri. But if you're dealing with a bracha she'eino chashuva, like Baron of Oshes, you're just having a glass of water, or you're just having a glass of apple juice, or you're just having an apple, or you're just having a piece of fish, where all of those, the bracha achreina, is Baron of Oshes, so then any amount will do. You only need a shiur, which is a chashuv amount, for a chashuv bracha. But for a non-chashuv bracha, even a non-chashuv amount, i.e., whatever shiur. That was the Ri's kiddush, tremendous kiddush. Doesn't bring a proof, doesn't back it up, he just says logic dictates that way. So bracha she'eina chashuva, therefore there's no reason why it should require a shiur. Says Tosfos, I'm very sorry to tell you, v'loy nira. V'loy nira. I'm sorry, he says, this does not appear to me. I don't agree. Why? The kid and the bairei nefashos tiknuha. What does that mean, tiknuha? They instituted keneged al hagefen, quote unquote. What's al hagefen? It's the bracha achroina you make on
grapes.
On grapes or grape juice. So what is Baron of Foshay? He says Baron of Foshay is the equivalent of that. And therefore, kihechi, just like the ala geffen, boi shiura, just like ala geffen requires a shiur. The Baron of Foshay's rabbis, nami boi non shiura. So we have a machlokes. So what have we said so far? We've said 3 points, or 2.5. Point number one is that the whole concept of shir only exists for the bracha achreina. First, the bracha achreina. Bracha rishayna makes the difference. Any bracha. Chashuva, not chashuva, whatever type of food, whatever type of drink, whatever amount you eat, you have to make a bracha rishayna, discussion closed. Point number one. Point number two is, even though it's true that we said that a bracha achreina does require a shir, that's only with regard to a bracha chashuva, says the Ri. So then you need a kezayis or meloy ugma. But if you're dealing with baron afoshes, because it is a bracha she'ena chashuva, non-significant bracha can deal with a non-significant amount. In other words, I don't need a shir at all. What does Tosfos say? That is the opinion of the Ri. Tosfos says, disagree. It's the exact equivalent of the bracha achas nein shalosh you make on grapes. The equivalent. Therefore, whatever rules apply there, apply to baron afoshes as well. If there's a shir for anagefen, there's a shir for baron afoshes as well. Okay. Now, continues Tosfos. Ubi Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi. Asks exactly the same question as our Gemara here in the Bavli asked as well, but gives a different answer. Ubi Yerushalmi, it says, Rabbi Yochanan, Heichi Borich Azayis. How did he make a bracha on the Zayis? Holoi have a shiura. Surely I don't have the shiur. So that was the question that the Bavli asked as well. Now, what was the Bavli's answer? But you didn't have a shiur. In other words, we disagreed with the whole question. You didn't have a shiur. Yes, you did. Made a mistake. You did have a shiur. Fine. But the Yerushalmi does not say that, and therefore we have a job on our hands working out, is there a machlokes going on? Because what does Yerushalmi say? Again, Ubi Yerushalmi, it says there, Rabbi Yechanan Heichi Borech Hazayis, Haloi have a shiura. How do you make a bracha on the Zayis? Surely there is no shiur. Exactly the same question as the Bavli asked. And what does it say? The Kamar, and it explains there, Mishum Beria. So here we have a brand new principle that we have never come across, I don't think.
A barrier.
What does a barrier mean? A solid, complete item, which therefore accounts for its lack of shear. Why do we always need a shear? For bracha achrayna, you need a shear. Why do you need a shear? One word answer. Choshev. You're right, Rabbi Yosef, because achila has to be something choshev, otherwise it's not constituted an achila. But we have a different way of now compensating for the lack of amount. It might not be choshev in quantity, but rather in quality. Why is that? The fact that it's a complete item, not just a piece of something. It's a solid item. Therefore, says the Yerushalmi, Da'afilu loy ochal, even if he only ate elo preido achas shel onov, one single grape. Preido is an attachment or detachment. I didn't eat the whole cluster of grapes. I took up one grape. Now I'm not having half a grape. What am I having? A whole grape. So it's a solid, complete item. Oy preido achas shel rimoin. Again, not a whole cluster, but just one pomegranate. Ba'i bruchi, you would be required to make a bracha. Why? Mishum de the barrier, because when it comes to a barrier, mevorchim afilu pochois mikazayin. Brand new principle. So the Yerushalmi introduces us to a new principle called barrier, which tells us that it's true that a food has to be choshev in order to require an after bracha, but choshev doesn't necessarily only depend on the amount, because if it is the barrier, then what's the halacha? You'd also make a bracha. So therefore, the Yerushalmi understands Rabbi Yochanan's story a little bit differently. How could you make a bracha? You took out the pit and there was no amount of kazayis left. So according to Yerushalmi, what's the answer?
It was a barrier.
So it's a very different approach, like we said.
We'll see in a moment, right?
That means the Bavli is telling you that what? That the question was a mistake. What was the question? There's no shiur. What's the Bavli's answer? You made a mistake. There was a shiur. You got your facts wrong. Whereas according to Yerushalmi, you didn't make a mistake. It's true there was no shear. However, you're required to make a bracha achrayna nonetheless. Why? Because it is a barrier. Says Tosfos, if that's the case, we would say v'choylek al gemara didan. It seems to be disagreeing on our gemara. Kedamash Mahocha, as is the implication of our Gemara. Our Gemara does not make any mention whatsoever of the barrier. And therefore, whenever we have a choice, Bavli or Yerushalmi, who do we go with? Halacha Lamaisa? Bavli. So according to this, that's what Tosfos now says, Im Kain Ein Halacha Kamoisai Shal Yerushalmi. Tosin is making a very simple mathematical equation. If I see that what? That our Gemara does not say barrier, and the Yerushalmi does, so I arrive at the inescapable conclusion that there is a machloikus between Bavli and Yerushalmi, in which case, halacha lemaisa, I have no choice but to paskel at the Bavli. Which means, unless you have a shear, there is no bracha achrayna. Barrier, irrelevant. Barrier irrelevant. That's what's emerging from this.
But why is it really? It's machlokas about a certain case, not necessarily that what the Yerushalmi is saying is incorrect. Like maybe they're saying.
So why didn't the Gemara? Why didn't our Gemara give that tense?
Because we're talking about a specific case. What did he? What was the case that he?
Yerushalmi is also in that particular case.
I know, but so they're addressing that case. But the halakha that they're bringing down could still be a good halakha.
So that's the question. If the Bavli would really hold of the Yerushalmi barrier, then why indeed did we not give that answer? Which is a better answer, by the way, if that's a fair way of putting it? Beria or our Gemara's answer? Which is a better answer?
And they're both good answers.
Nope. I think Beria is a better answer. Why is Yerushalmi a better answer?
It's something that's complete.
It doesn't change the original, that it didn't have the right amount.
The Gemara's answer in the Bavli is making an assumption. Yeah. What's the assumption?
That you did have the
The Gemara said, you don't need a large one, you only need a medium one. And therefore, we're talking about, he had a very large one. When he took out the pip, he still had a shear. How do you know that was the case? We'll assume that, making an assumption. Whereas Yerushalmi's answer is much better. Why is it better? Because I'm making an assumption, that was the story. An olive is a berry, it's an undeniable fact. Notwithstanding your question before that you took out the pits, maybe it's no longer a berry, we'll get to that in a moment. Therefore, we have two types of answers. Very, very, very important. Whenever we ask a question on a particular scenario, we have two types of answers. Either what we call an okimta. What does an okimta mean? We're going to suggest a scenario. Or, not an okimta, a fact. So if I say to you, I don't understand. Rabbi so-and-so, I know for a fact, was approached yesterday, and he was asked, is it mutter to cook on Shabbos? And he said yes. I don't understand. It makes sense. He says, you know, how to cook on Shabbos. That's the question. So I've got two choices. Either I'll make an akimta. What does it mean I'll make an akimta? I'll design a case. You know, probably what was going on, he was asked for pekuach nefesh. What, you know that to be the case? No, I have no idea. Okay, that's one particular approach. The other approach is, right, obviously this Rav doesn't know the halacha, he forgot the halacha. That's not a makimta. Those are the facts. Whoever says it's mutter to cook on Shabbos doesn't know the halacha. They're making a mistake. Unless you want to suggest that we're talking about a very particular scenario that happens in Pekuach Nefesh. You never saw any ambulances, and nobody told you anybody's dying. You're just making an assumption for the sake of it. Okay, that's your prerogative. But we'd all agree that the better teretz is the other teretz. But I'm not making an assumption. Anybody who says these cooking is an amoret doesn't know the halacha.
You're making an assumption, but I'm told you, know, you were told certain things about the situation. You weren't told the complete situation.
True. Maybe the marshal therefore is not great, because there could be other factors involved. So we have a question over here. Rabbi Yochanan, how on earth did you make a bracha achrayin? No, there's no shiur. So the Bavli makes an okimta. What's the okimta? We're talking about it was a shear. Happens to be it's very large on. If such that when you take out the pit, there still remains your 200 grams in the. And what does Yerushalmi say? Sorry. I don't need to make an okimta. I have a far, far better teretz. What is that? An olive is a barrier. End of story. Well, if that's such a great teretz, why did the Bavli not say it? Therefore, says Tosfos, it would seem to me that the Bavli clearly does not hold of the barrier principle. And what does the Bavli hold? When do you make a bracha achrayino? Only if there's a shear and it's non-negotiable. A non-breakable fact. Kunti Rishalmi, no, either a shear or a barrier. But the Bavli seems to be saying, not that way. The Bavli seems to be disagreeing and it says, no. No such thing as barrier. There are only one solitary single case you could possibly make a bracha achrayino is if there is a shear. And therefore, for lack of any other choice, I'm going to have to say and make an assumption that what? We're, by the way, talking about a case where there was a kazayis. You don't know that to be the case, but we're just going to have to assume it. Otherwise, what's going on? How can you make a bracha achrayino? So therefore, says Tosfos, if that's the machloikas in the Bavli and Yerushalmi, so what's halacha l'maisa? By the Bavli, because we don't have a pasuk like the Yerushalmi against the Bavli. Says Tosfos, v'harav Yosi, now you see the aleph in the bach, v'harav Rabbi Yosef, not Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yosef. V'harav Rabbi Yosef, this is the Baal Tosfos, says, Hoya Mefarish, you know what he explained? Shah Yerushalmi Einoi Choyle Kal HaGemora Shalonu. There is no machlokes whatsoever. Therefore, you've got no right to start saying the Bavli is Choylik and Yerushalmi, and if we pass it out the Bavli, and if we don't pass it out the barrier. No. There's actually no machlokes. And the Bavli, our Gemara, also holds of the barrier principle. Da'ocha Mairi, because here we are talking about a particular case. Shehusru Hagarinim, where the pit was removed. V'nimlach, and then got salted. Imkein, if that's the case, loy hoyo kebriyosoi. A barrier, one of the principles of barrier is it's got to be in its original state. Kebriyosoi, as it was created. But if it's been changed such that it's considered, as it were, a new entity, even if it's whole, doesn't matter, it's no longer considered a barrier. Oh. Says Rabbi Yosef, therefore, our Gemara doesn't disagree with the barrier principle, rather just holds that this case is not a barrier. Because once you remove the pit and you salt it and the whole thing is changed, it does not resemble the original olive. Therefore, it's not that we don't hold a barrier, just this simply isn't a barrier. Aval im ochle shalem. But indeed, had you only eaten it complete whole, then of course we would agree. Afilu im hoya preda achas shalrimoin. Even if it's one pomegranate, mavorich, olov, tchilo, v'seif. So the Babli might very well hold that what? There does exist the principle of barrier, bracha before, after, any which direction you like. In our case, we're talking about it's not a barrier. Okay, tennis match, underway. Why? Because what's the next move?
The Yerushalmi.
Why does the Yerushalmi hold it's a barrier then? You've just told me that the Bavli essentially holds of the barrier principle. Just that this particular case is not called a barrier because you removed the pit and you salted it all up and it doesn't look like the original olive anymore. Salted olive. Okay, so now the ball goes back to the Yerushalmi. Harav Yerushalmi, could you please explain to me why you hold it's a barrier? Says Toisves, the Gemara Yerushalmi, Hoyo Stavor Shahazdayis. Hoya Shalem. Yerushalmi thought that we're talking about the Zayas was Shalem. Nothing was removed, nothing was salted, and therefore, Hutzrich Lataret. That's why it was necessary to answer, Boisayinian, in that particular matter, i.e., the Ochal Preda. The barrier that he ate a piece which is considered a barrier. Ve'enom cholkin yachad. And actually, there's no machloikus in the Bavli in Yerushalmi. So, according to Rav Rabbi Yosef, what's the halacha of barrier? Halacha lemaisa?
It exists.
Halacha lemaisa? According to Rabbi Yosef, what does it say in his Shulchan Aruch? According to Tosfos, the first Baal Tosfos, what does he hold? It's Machlekes Bavli and Yerushalmi. And Halacha Lemaisa, we're going to have to go with the Bavli, and there's no principle of barrier. But according to Rabbi Yosef, there's no Machlekes. Everybody in the world holds of the barrier principle. The only discussion is a little side technical discussion, and that is, what was our story? Was the case that it was a barrier, that's what Yerushalmi holds, and the Bavli holds, it was not a barrier. But were it to be a barrier, where else, by the way, just as an aside, where else in Halacha can anybody tell me, do we bump into the principle of barrier?
Multi.
Nothing to do with brachas.
You get two grains, if one is whole.
Specifically in beria, not sholim, beria. Specifically the principle of beria.
Well, maybe you would be very good with an estimate.
Just gave a shir, two shurim actually, and then somebody knocked on our door this Friday night and asked me almost exactly the same question. Somebody came to our shul a few weeks ago, a month ago or so, Friday night. He said a fly just dropped into our chant, and I can't see it now. Somewhere in there. It's a thick chant, it's not like a liquid. So we gave two shurim to try and explain what the halacha should be, because the Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara tells us in Chulin Daf Kuf that a beria is not batel. Under ordinary circumstances, obviously not allowed to eat a fly, it's a deraisa. So what would you expect it? Seder. If there's shishim in the cholent keneged the fly, I don't know whether you can stomach it, but at least halachically you'd be allowed to eat it. But it's not true. Why? Because a fly is a beria. And if a fly is a beria, then even if you've got 1,000 times keneged the fly, it's not batel. The fact that it's a thick cholent makes matters more complicated, because if it wouldn't be a thick cholent and it'd be a liquidy cholent, so you could see at least each ladle as it comes out. I can see there's no fly in this particular ladle, but if it's a thick cholent, then the fly could be anywhere. It could be tucked under some potato, it could be tucked under some bean, you can't see it, even if it's a tiny little one. So we tried to weigh up all the different stars, and the bottom line is we had to ask him eating the cholent. If, by the way, the fly will be cut up, diced up, there's no longer a barrier. It's not sholim.
And you do that deliberately.
So you're eating a half fly. We should not ask, you're not allowed to eat a half fly either. But then it will be bottled. They say, what's the world, what's worse than finding a worm in your apple? Finding half a worm. That's even worse. It means you've eaten the other half. So if indeed this fly was to be cut up, then although it's not allowed to be eaten, but it'd be bottled with shishim. But as long as it isn't cut up. So somebody knocked on our door this very Friday night, this Shabbos, and said, we just saw a fly land flat in the chicken. But we can see it, it's there sitting now, no longer alive, on the chicken. So what's halacha there?
Take that chicken out.
We've only got two pieces of chicken, so one for me, one for my wife. I think you already allocated the one with the fly for his wife. So what are you going to do? Can you eat it? If you can, how do you do it? What do you do?
I would remove the bug with some of the chicken.
Why?
You have to take some of the good
the one.
Why can you not just take the flies? You're saying because of boirer maybe,
right.
And also because it's mukta. Also because it's mukta. So that's what we told him to do. So I'm not sure if you'd like to eat it, but that you can decide at home. Lalachically, it's mukta to eat. There's only one remaining discussion. Imagine it wouldn't be a fly, it would be a piece of chazir that landed flat on your chicken, and now you take it off. But another issue. What is that? Tam. Not only do you have to mevatel a piece of meat, because you've taken that out, but the tam. But over here it's different, because most poskim hold, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mo hold, that the tam that comes out of insects is not positive taste. It's what's called noisen tam lifgam. It gives detrimental taste, therefore it doesn't need to be bottled with shishim. Machlokes about it, shach, but you got it. But either way, therefore, essentially, aloch, as long as you remove the fly, then you're okay. So that is the other area that we find the principle of beria. Now, there is one other area which is more similar to the first shayla. Imagine you would take a piece of mevela and eat it. You chayav malkus. How much nevela do you have to eat in order to be chayav malkus? No. Because I is. Achila. By the way, you're not allowed to eat even half a kazayis. That's what's called chatzi shir. But in order to get malkus, only for the full amount. So what would be if you eat less than a kazayis, that it was a beria. How could that be? So Gemara gives an example. If you eat, for example, a bird, tiny, tiny bird, less than a kazayis, but it's a whole bird. Or for that matter, a whole insect. So then you'd get malchus even on less than a kazayis. Why? Because the beria. So here we have the principle of beria with regard to malchus, with regard to brachas, and also with regard to lack of bittul. But the principle is the same in all three cases. What is the principle? The beria is choshev. It's so choshev that it qualifies as an achila even if there's less than a kazayis. If you get malchus, or if there's a bracha achrena. Or it's so choshev that it can't be bittul. What's bittul all about? Bittul is about the total negation of that which you are being mevatel. Bittul, it's nothing, insignificant. But something that is very significant can't be bittul. You once asked one of the great leaders of Klal Yisrael, I don't understand, you Jews, you are a contradiction to your own existence. Why? Because it says in your Torah that you always follow the majority, that the minority are bottle bereiv. Well, most people in the world are non-Jewish. Therefore, the Jewish people in the world should be bottle bereiv. So what was the answer? Two answers. Number one, because a dovah choshev can't be bottle. And even a better answer is that he said that no. He said this to Rabbeinu Stavishev's answer, that no. Bittul only works when you have a sophic. Here there's no doubt whatsoever. Okay, so back to our subject. So again, according to this,
so we take Rav Yosef.
It seems to be that Rav Yosef is reconciling the Bavli and Yerushalmi. No need to make a machlokes. Everybody holds that a beria requires a bracha achrena. The reason why our Gemara didn't say so is because we just thought we're not talking about a beria at all. Now, V'oid yesh b'Yerushalmi. Now, I'm not sure why Tosis brings this in at all. This is an enormous discussion, absolutely colossal discussion, which, as you can imagine, has far, far reaching ramifications, not just in Hilchas Brachas with regard to food. What does it say in Yerushalmi? Heicha v'borech aturmasa. If somebody made a bracha on a turmus, what's a turmus? A bean. Lemechle, in order to eat. He was about to eat it, disaster struck. V'nofal miyadei, and it then fell from his hand and disappeared. Makes the bracha, and the food disappeared. V'shokal achrina, he now took another one. What is the big question? Does the bracha that he made on the first bean transfer to the second? Says Yerushalmi, boi, bruchi, zimna achriti. He would have to make a bracha. What does it mean, zimna achriti? Another time, second bracha. The first bracha specifically referred to the first bean. Once that's gone, well, the bracha goes with it. Uporech, and Yerushalmi says, my shno me'ama samayim. What's the difference between if you have some water, pirish, demavorech lishtois, somebody made a bracha to drink water, vahani ozli, and those went. What is amasamayim, by the way, mean? What's an amasamayim? A channel of water, not a cup of water. You went down to a stream, and you're about to drink, and then all of a sudden there's a big wave, and the water went. So therefore the water now in front of you is different water. And there, what's the halacha? It says, Vahani ozli, these waters went. Vahani achrini ninu, and now you've got different water. What's the halacha? The ein sarech levarech pa'amacheres, and you do not need to make another bracha. So why on the new water do you not make a new bracha? On the new bean you do. It says, Yerushalmi or Mishani, hocha have a daitoi mitchilo lezeh. Over there, that was your das right from the outset. Why? Because when you go down to the stream, you know full well that what? That it can flow.
Shehaya Yodea. He knew from the beginning, Sheyel Chulahen, this water will go. Abul Batur Masah. But in the case of a being, he didn't expect that. Lo Yoda Sheyiplu Miyode. He never knew it would fall from his hand. Therefore, when he made his bracha, what was he specifically referring to?
Nothing.
On that particular bean, he didn't for a moment dream that he'd end up eating a different one.
Could you have?
Now, the first bracha, by the way, turns out to be a bracha of Atalus. What should you do? The Yoimar Boroshein Koin Mochus Eloilon Voed Mishun of a bracha of Atala, the Chein Nochel Loima. So that is indeed correct to say, Al Kol Bracha of Atala, Boire Boroch Shein Koin Mochus Eloilon Voed. When was the last time you did that? This morning, tefillin. On tefillin. Because there is a whole discussion how many brachas on tefillin, machlokes. We make two brachas, but because it might be a bracha of atala, therefore we say baruch shem kol malchus eloheinu v'od. Now, I'm not sure why Tosfos brought this Yerushalmi over here. It's nothing to do with our discussion, but it is a crucially important discussion, which, as you can imagine, has all types of ramifications, not only in the brachas of eating. The classic case, lots of different scenarios. Scenario number one is there a difference between the following two cases? The Yerushalmi spoke about where you had a bean, you made a bracha on it, it disappeared, and now you bring bean number two. But what would be in a different case where bean number one did not disappear, and you ate it, and in fact you're now hungry and you want to eat bean number two, which was not planned from the outset? Just like a new bracha? I didn't have that. I was only planning to have one bean, one turmus, one apple. But I liked it so much that I thought to myself, you know what? I think I'll have another one. I definitely did not have that plan from the outset. Now, what's the difference between the two cases? At least there, the bracha was not a bracha levatala. It was referring to the first apple, and it took effect on the first apple. So maybe then you can just keep it going. Or maybe it's nothing to do with the fact that it's a bracha levatala. A new apple needs a new bracha. If I had in mind to drink, have a second apple, obviously one bracha goes on that as well. This is very negah. Classic scenario, Shulchan Aruch talks about it, you made Kiddush, you're just about to sit down and the whole wine spilt. So you get more wine now, just making you agafen, just making you Kiddush. But as I mentioned, this has ramifications not only in the area of brachas on foods. Classic scenario, Shulchan Aruch discusses it, big machloikah, and it's all based on this Yerushalmi. And we've probably all seen this happen once or twice. Somebody goes up to the Torah to make a bracha, they open up the Sefer Torah, and the Baal Kriya says, oh, one moment, it's up to the wrong page. Could be Negev for this week. This week is Rosh Chodesh. So imagine they take out the Sefer Torah that you read on Thursday morning. Rosh Chodesh was on Friday. So it opened up the Sefer Torah, and it's just about to launch into the Rosh Chodesh laning, which is Parshas Pinchas, and you'll see, oh, one second, it's rolled to Parshas Maaseh, which is the week's Parsha. Now, you definitely did not have in mind,
oh,
this is the opposite way around. Why is this the opposite of Yerushalmi? Because I had my das, what was my das to make a bracha on? Rosh Chodesh, but it's not what I had in front of me when I made a bracha. So when you open the Sefer Torah, and by the way, it's what you're supposed to do. You're always supposed to open the Sefer Torah before you make an aliyah. Look, this is what I'm making a bracha. So apparently you thought you're making a bracha on Parshas Maaseh. Maybe you forgot that it's Rosh Chodesh. And all of a sudden they say, whoa, one second, it's not Parshas Maaseh. It's really Parshas Pinchas. So is that the Turmus? So can you bracha now? Essentially the Shulchan Aruch says yes. This is very negeya in a number of parashiyos. Parashas Vo'ira, Parashas Kiseitse, and Parashas Nosei, where the Sedra begins with very similar words to words of the previous parasha. Parashas Bo'i, when it says, Yosha, Bo'i El Paroi, which is the beginning of Parshas Bo, is almost identical words towards the end of Parshas Va'era with regard to one of the other Makris. Same to Enosei, same to Enkisei, it's not our discussion. So there's a big Shaila, Shulchan Aruch talks about it. But again, it's all based on this. So you can imagine a lot of halachas that emerge from this Tosis. Now, let's just sum up briefly what we saw in Tosis. Number one, we said that we only require a shear for a after bracha, but not for a first bracha, that's any amount. But an after bracha does require a shear. What is the shear? Solids, kazayis, liquids, meloy lugmov. The re wanted to suggest that when it comes to bairei nefoshos, what is halacha? Any amount, because it's not a chosh of a bracha. But Tosfos disagreed. Why? Because that is exactly the same halacha as all other bracha achreinos, and therefore it's got to be chosh. Then we had a discussion about why is there no mention of beria in our Gemara Bavli, because the Gemara Yishalmi does mention it. So machloikas rishonim. One opinion says it's machloikas Bavli Yishalmi, we pass it out of Bavli. Second opinion says there's no machloikas, just it's questionable whether this is a beria or not. And finally, we have the shaila of what happens if you have a bean which you dropped, you got a new one, new bracha. Whereas the case of Mayim, which came and went, you knew that from the outset. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. But it's worth seeing, before we continue the Gemara, Mr. Hashem, we'll see this next time briefly. Mem test Amud Beis. That Mem test. Amud Beis. Have a look at the Gemara. Can you see it's a seventh last narrow line? Ad kamo mezamnin. Yeah, you see it? Now, Ad kamo mezamnin is actually a referral to the Mishnah at the beginning of that perek, which is Daf Mem Hei Omad Aleph. Look at the opening Mishnah on Daf Mem Hei Omad Aleph, opening Mishnah of that seventh perek. Shloisha She'ochlu, you see the last line? The last line of that Mishnah says, Ad kamo mezamnin. Ad kazayis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad kebeitza. That's Daf Mem Hei. On Daf Mem Test on the base, that's what the Gemara is referring to. Ad kamo mezamnin, lemeima, etc., etc. So have a look briefly at that Gemara from there till the Mishnah. You can see the Mishnah on the sixth wide line. And then the Tosfos there, Rabbi Meir Sova. See the Tosfos, Rabbi Meir Sova? Yeah, have a look at that. Very important, with special concentration on the last two lines of Tosfos. Mr. Hashem, we'll see that together on Tuesday, Habolein on the Teva, and then after that, we'll go back to our Gemara and we'll continue.